She was giving the
signal. She was like, I can do that.
We are totally live, and we're starting right now.
Oh my God, we're starting. Here we go.
Thank you for tuning in to the January 16th edition of the Video Destruct Podcast. Oh. I'm Hoss, Dave Rocky on the site. Today we're joined by Brandon Jones.
Woo, what's up, guys?
Also got Eric Schmidt back in the house today.
I feel like I need a cool nickname. You're Hoss. He's BJ.
I'm not BJ.
That's what I call you.
I don't ever want to be BJ.
You're BJ.
Hey BJ.
Oh, God. You're stuck with it forever now, BJ.
Is this just because I didn't have to subject myself to World War Z?
Yeah, dude, I totally invited you over to watch that movie. No, that's just you and Eric.
Yeah, because if you'll go back on the archive, you said you would experience that. And then have the discussion.
Yeah, because, you know...
I don't remember that being
so
my homework,
that means
homework
you have
too.
Nothing to contribute to
Why
this podcast.
Why don't you want to
go
experience
home?
My joy?
You know what? All right.
This cool. is the highest energy I think we've ever started one of these podcasts.
Are we talking about zombies again?
We are going to talk about more zombies. That is three consecutive episodes with zombie talk in it.
So welcome to the huge zombie cast.
Zombie cast.
The Z-cast.
The zombie
cast. Z-cast sounds like a medication.
It did. I feel like it's going to help me sleep.
Yeah. If you have any thoughts of suicide, please stop taking Z-cast.
Hey, you had to keep injecting that one girl from Dead Rising 2 with it. So.
Oh, I hate her so much.
I don't want to get in this conversation with you again.
All right. I hope she grows up and dies.
This has degenerated quickly.
Dude, it started off the rails. It's more off the rails right now.
Yeah.
All right, so, hey, top of the show, I guess we'll talk about what we've been playing lately. I'll flip this on its head. I'm going to start with what I've been playing, because I feel like I probably played the most stuff in the last week. I've been kind of, you know, spreading my seeds out a little bit, playing a lot of different stuff.
Gross.
I finally got around to playing a substantial amount of Legend of Zelda of A Link Between Worlds for the 3DS. It's basically, I think even in Japan it's called A Link to the Past 2.
Mm-hmm.
The game that was on the Super Nintendo.
Yep.
Wow, that game's absolutely fantastic. It's great to look at. It does the craziest stuff I've seen in quite a while. It finally breaks itself of the Zelda formula in a whole lot of really interesting ways. It's not 8 dungeons, 1 item per dungeon anymore. You actually get all the items whenever you want. You rent them. And if you die, this bird comes and takes them away, and he's a big jerk, and you have to go back and rent them again.
The repo bird.
That game's totally awesome. It looks so, so good. It's a fully 3D rendered version of the world that you've seen before, but it's still that top-down view. It's not a behind-the-back Ocarina of Time camera.
Mm-hmm.
It's still that top-down view, lock screen. But because it's actually rendered in polygons, it lets them do a really good job of, you know, changing the environments at times. And it makes your trips to... and potential spoiler here, I guess, the nightmare world from A Link to the Past, the Dark Realm.
Sure.
When you go over there, it lets them do a lot of, because those worlds are actually rendered in polygons, lets them do a lot more interesting stuff with that world.
Yeah.
That game's phenomenal. I've spent about 6 or 7 hours on it so far. I've beaten a few dungeons. You can beat the dungeons in any order.
Yeah.
Because you have all the items. That's you just beat them whenever you want.
How Mega Manish of you, Zelda.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Mega Manish, yeah.
You know, I was actually just thinking that was pretty creative of them, but now that you said the word Mega Man, I'm like, screw this game. I'm just going to throw it away.
Can I feel free to upset everyone probably listening and you too?
Yeah, you've never actually...
I've never, ever, ever... played a Zelda game.
That's true.
There's
a lot of people that haven't. The first one that I ever actually truly played and beat all the way through was Ocarina. I never played Link to the Past. Still have not played Link to the Past, which is a bit of a crime, so I'm told.
I don't know. A lot of people are like, well, if you've never played Mega Man 2, you haven't experienced video games.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm one of those people, yeah. Because Mega Man 2 is one of the finest games ever made.
Not half as good as some people say it is, but okay.
One of the finest games
I'm indifferent.
Ever played.
I give that game 2 shrugged shoulders.
I feel like the cover for this podcast, the picture, is just going to be the three of us like fighting,
yeah,
like pointing fingers at
each other. I'm not sure
like,
it's going to
like
be
like a Mike Tyson's punch out.
Yeah, right. Type cover. Yeah, yeah.
Brandon's little Mac.
Yeah, oh, you're King Hippo.
I wanted to be Bald Bull.
Well, you could be Bald Bull.
Yeah, or Soda Popinski. Not like the arcade where he was
vodka Drunkinski. Yeah, yeah. They had to PG him up a bit for the Nintendo system.
Can I be Little Mac?
So,
no,
you're not very little. I'm Little Mac.
You're the biggest one here. Yeah. I mean, height-wise, anyway.
Shut your mouth.
You can be Doc.
Dude, yes! I want to be a black man riding a bicycle.
Oh,
I want to spend the rest of my life being a black man riding a bicycle.
All right.
I guess I'm the guy with the Band-Aid over my belly button.
There you go.
Jesus.
Keep on pulling up those bridges.
So, be sure to check out our Punch-Out cosplay at the next con we go to. We're going to MAGFest, apparently, and we're going to do that. So, cool.
Legend of Zelda's great. I mean, like, I feel like a lot of stuff has been said about that game already. It's worth your time. If you're a 3DS owner and you've kind of tired of Pokemon, that's a great next game to get that's going to get you a lot of mileage. I'm ripping through it real quick. Mm-hmm. So I don't necessarily know that this is going to be the 40-hour game that they typically are.
Sure.
It's a portable game, so even if it only clocks in at 20, who cares? This game's rad. it's pretty good. I ended up picking up another copy of The Last of Us because I had actually let mine go.
Really?
I picked up another copy to run through that.
Oh, that's a good game.
So
that is Naughty Dog's last run at that system, and that is what a good game it is.
And for a large to a large degree, it's with the exception of Gran Turismo that came out in December, it's kind of like that system's swan song.
I mean,
it'll still have, games like Assassin's Creed and Call of Duty and stuff like that, but you're not going to see big budget first party development money going into developing PS3 games anymore. It's not going to have a God of War 2 that comes out like a year after that system's already over. that's not going to happen. You'll still see some weird third party stuff that's just deep in the pipeline, like the third Final Fantasy 13 game's coming out, and Persona 5 actually doesn't come out until I think the winter.
Wow.
And dude, put me down for that game, man. Persona 4, one of the greatest games I've ever played in my life. Nanako, I miss you.
Oh, man.
Chie, the whole gang.
Kapachirama Sama, baby.
Oh, dude, we need to watch that anime.
I do need to watch the anime.
I came up with a really good idea for the site, which I think would be awesome, is Brandon likes anime.
Mm-hmm, yes.
But he's never played Persona 4.
This is true.
Yeah.
I hate anime. But I think Persona 4 is the best game I've ever played in my life.
So we're going to watch
the Persona 4 anime.
And give our feelings on it and everything. So.
Yeah, I think that'll be a cool feature. Maybe it'll just be a podcast segment. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think it'd be pretty fun to do.
Speaking of anime.
Sure.
I watched an anime that I think you told me about forever ago.
Did you watch Attack on Titan?
Yes, I did.
Yes! I love that anime.
It was cool.
Woo!
What a cool show that is. This guy over here.
It is the creepiest, awesomest show.
He don't get it.
I've seen in a while. Although, if anybody knows me, they know I hate reading.
Well, yeah, it's true.
I hate Final Fantasy games for the fact it's like... Hello. I was like, oh, just add a voice, please.
You know when Final Fantasy got better is when they put in shitty American English dialogue. That's when that game got
way better.
But yeah, I mean it is a pretty cool show.
It's a cool show.
I think the Hoss should watch it.
I say go check out Attack on Titan.
You know when I'm gonna watch that?
Shingeki no Kyojin.
And it's on Netflix, so if you have Netflix, check it out.
You know when I'm gonna watch that?
For this podcast?
I'm never gonna watch that.
You heard it.
He said he's
gonna do it for this podcast, everybody.
That's what he said.
That's what he said.
I'm gonna jackknife it into his brain.
Jackknife powerbomb for life.
Boom.
I'm just gonna keep saying that. Just every podcast. Sneak it in there.
This is not the Schmoz cast. Let's keep going. So anyway, I think it's a pretty good segment, us watching Persona 4. I like that one because I think I'll be pleasantly surprised by the anime. I have no idea. So,
that kind of coming hot off the heels out of that. I mean, Don't Starve came out for free for the PlayStation 4.
Yep, I saw you playing that.
If you're a PlayStation Plus member, that game, it was kind of a indie PC darling.
Yeah.
When it came out last year, it's kind of one of those it's not necessarily a Minecraft game, but it comes from that kind of thought process.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like Minecraft because, when I bought it and played it, it was when it first happened, and there wasn't any game in it. It was Legos.
Yeah.
And
yeah. You play.
I don't really like Legos.
Things that explode cause nightmares.
Yeah.
When that game, I feel like when it first came out, I don't even feel like creepers were in that when I first bought that game.
Creepers were always in there.
Were they always in there?
I think they always were.
Dude, it's been like 2 years. Don't.
Yeah. Sure.
Millions of things have happened since then.
That's fair enough. It had a very Minecraft vibe to me, Don't Starve. It had a very Minecraft vibe. You're getting logs. You're getting it was different, obviously, but it just had a lot of those elements because you didn't want to be out at night. You wanted to make sure you always had a fire lit. Lots of the same elements of that. You know, that nature.
Yeah, it's got a great drawn art style. It's got an art style that looks like it was drawn by colored pencils.
Yes.
Yeah. So everything kind of has like a scribbly sort of look to it. I really enjoy the way that game looks on the PS4. Guess what? It's not really pushing the system very much, but it just, everything looks razor sharp. There's one of the complaints that you could still have, even last generation, with a lot of games that had a hand-drawn look to them, is that they would still be aliased around the edge, so you'd have rough edges on things. Yeah. This game, granted, it's not a $400 system, it just came out like 15 minutes ago, but it looks razor sharp. It's got a funny sensibility to it. Almost everything in the world you can walk up to and hit the triangle button to inspect.
Yeah.
And everything, it's like, if you accidentally set a tree on fire, it'd be like, well, I probably shouldn't have done that. You can dive into wormholes.
Or get attacked by a giant nest of spiders.
That's true.
Stupid game.
Eric, that was your first experience. For the last podcast you were on, you had your first experience playing the Xbox One. Well, since then, you've come over a couple of times, and you played Don't Starve today. What did you think of Don't Starve? What do you think of that controller as well? Kind of get into the whole system aspect of it.
The controller, I think, is amazing. Like, I've always loved the PlayStation controllers, and this is... I mean, it's pretty much the same controller with the touchpad, but it, in general, it's comfortable. I like it. I like the feel of everything. It's super responsive.
I didn't like the PS3 controller at all, and I thought the PS2 controller was just kind of, compared to like the original Xbox controller.
I mean, well, they're pretty much the same. I mean, in the general,
they've shrunk the size so much. The sticks have so much less throw. The sticks are now concave. It's got that rubberized texture on the back of it to make it fit easier in your hands. It's got heft to it, but it's not heavy. The triggers now, instead of like pushing in, they actually have a trigger throw on them now. Okay. They got a good amount of resistance, so they feel nice. The one thing that would have, and I think this is probably the best controller I've ever held in my hands, which is kind of a statement coming from somebody who thought the PS3 controller was awful.
Yeah.
And it doesn't splay your hands out anymore. They're
straight. Yeah.
The nubs that come off it, you've got a very straight, direct feel on the controller. The one thing that would make that just hands down the best controller in the world is the trigger motors from an Xbox One controller. There are actually motors in the triggers, so like when you shoot guns or tires are starting to break loose in a racing game, it'll actually feedback in the trigger, not in the whole controller. If you added those, I think, trigger in there and take that stupid light off that thing.
It is bright.
It makes the battery like 6 hours.
Good lord.
Yeah, it's...
The battery life on a PS4 controller is ass.
There's not an option?
Wow.
That's...
Because they're like, well, what if you have a PlayStation camera? Who's got a PlayStation camera? Other than the people that are having sex on the internet with it. Have you seen that stuff?
Well, no. Oh.
Yeah. Well, live from PlayStation.
Well, you had to buy the camera for the system to work, right? Oh, no, wait. That's Xbox. I apologize.
Yeah.
So. Fanboy.
I don't like cameras on my systems anyway, and we've discussed that already.
Yeah.
But
not to retread the last podcast, but so beyond the controller itself, what did you think of Don't Starve? Did you understand it?
Well, the objective is pretty clear via the title. It's
you've got one goal.
Yeah, one goal, and it's to not be hungry. I didn't starve.
Not true. You were killed by spiders.
I got eaten by a giant nest of my ultimate fear, which is spiders.
One thing, don't get murdered, is I think that's pretty implicit. I don't think you really need to state that. It's like, you know, don't starve, but also don't get murdered.
Yeah, but I mean, the 10-15 minutes I played of it, it was really good. It was really responsive. It's not.
I purposely didn't tell you anything about it.
Yeah, he just said, just hit play and see what you can do. And I didn't know that I was going to upset a giant nest of bees until I inspected it, and killer bees flew out and tried to sting me in the face.
Yeah, the RZA showed up, and then so did U-God.
U-God?
They're members of the Wu-Tang.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. The killer bees.
Yeah. Dirt McGurk was
yeah,
he there?
Yeah, old Dirt McGurk.
Oh, Jesus.
Big baby Jesus.
He died, didn't he?
Yeah, he's been way dead. For like 18
yeah, he
years.
Died.
Now he's an old dirty corpse.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this conversation is freaking over.
Yeah, how did we go to the Wu-Tang
Clan? Because the killer bees, son.
Go away. No, all in all, the PlayStation, the PlayStation 4, I really like the system. I mean, it's responsive. The two games I've played on it look great. Like,
oh, let's hear about that second game you played.
I'm
ready to just hear this.
I played very successfully. I think.
Yeah, I thought it was a good
Assassin's
run.
Assassin's Creed Black Flag. And a little background on me and Assassin's Creed. I hate it.
Yeah, never played it, I think.
I played an hour-ish of the first Assassin's Creed. And the reason I think I was disappointed was I was a huge Prince of Persia fan.
Yeah.
And when you see the trailers and you see the scenes for Assassin's Creed, the first one, you thought it was going to be Prince of Persia-ish. You can run and parkour all over the place. And
you totally can.
Kinda
climb anything.
You can climb, but it's slow. To me, it was slow and clunky.
They've sped it up in games since.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I thought when I was going to be a play, I was going to be able to do a backflip over a guy and stab him in the neck and keep running and hit 14 guys on the way out. And it wasn't like that. It was like, oh, you stab this one guy and then you alert the whole city and then you have to go into a pile of hay for 30 minutes until everyone forgets about you. And I'm like, this is stupid.
Well, you actually didn't get, to be fair, you didn't really get a good shot at the combat. But man, you really...
You
were a smoking banger when it came to that stealth mission, man.
I was doing... First of all, I drove that ship very well.
You almost hit, like, four islands.
Yeah, I
almost. I almost scraped the islands with the giant ship, but my first time playing it, I think I did fairly well until you said there was something going to cannonball me and had to move quickly,
yes.
And I hit the brakes instead of the
go. Water's red!
Yeah, so I thought maybe a shark got hungry. I didn't know what was going on, but I think that should be a thing. I'm gonna throw that out there right now.
Assassin's Creed Black Flag was one of the most infuriating experiences of my entire life.
This was a very interesting thing from a third party because the gameplay of this game from the person controlling it was hilarious, and the instructions coming from the person who knows how to play the game was beyond hilarious. I'm not going to spoil anything because I think we should make this a segment on the show.
I'm real bad at giving people directions.
Yeah.
Haas gets frustrated easily is an understatement.
Yeah.
Haas goes from zero to hair ripping if you don't hit the right button and run into some bushes before somebody comes and sees you. I didn't know you could run into those bushes. And it was quite upsetting the Haas, and I apologize for almost destroying your ship in the game.
I did enjoy the instructions you gave him for stealth hiding. It was very succinct. I believe it was, and I quote, "Go into the bush!"
How was I supposed to know? The game tells you several commands, and you're telling
me... It's not telling you commands!
Yeah, that's the funny...
Look, if you go to an edge of a rock, and it says climb...
Eric seems to believe that the game displaying things that you can do is a command that you should do it right now.
If you swim next to a rock and all of a sudden there's a circle button that says climb, I want to climb out of the water. And apparently I couldn't climb out at that point. Then why give me the option? I don't understand it, and it's stupid.
If you're in a stealth scenario...
I didn't know. Minutes earlier, I was driving a giant ship.
Stealthily.
Ran it aground. Ran it aground.
If you're in a stealth scenario, and you're supposed to take out guards quietly, And an on-screen prompt says, throw grenade. Don't do that.
One time. Throw the I wanted to
it
see
was like
what
three different times.
Oh, man. So we're going to make that probably a segment on the show, not the podcast, but on the site, actually.
We get some vidcap stuff going on.
Once we get some capture cards, some vidcaps going, we're going to have a little session of Haas teaches Eric how to play Assassin's Creed.
Haas has quite a few more video games than I do, and obviously has played much more of them than I ever could in my entire lifetime.
Yeah.
But I feel like the Xbox camera stared at me. But Johnny Five Alive.
Johnny Five.
I'm assuming he's going to get quite frustrated and probably end up killing me one day.
But yeah. That's why you guys will tune in, I would assume.
It's going to be terrifying.
This is going to be awful.
Yeah.
It's going to be car wreckish, I think.
I'm going to enjoy this thoroughly.
Yeah.
Any other games?
I watched Spring Breakers again.
Oh, God.
Forget with this movie.
You are obsessed with this movie.
I need to watch it. Give me your copy.
I got to see this thing because
I refuse to rent or buy it because I think it's going to be terrible.
He's actually getting up and getting his copy and handing it.
Spring Breakers.
It's Spring Breakers.
On Blu-ray.
I don't have a Blu-ray player.
Yeah, I think you're the only one.
Sorry.
Have you been watching this? It's still in the package.
It's on Amazon Digital, so I had to stream it through there. It streams at 1080.
Okay. Well,
let me tell you, the audio-visual quality of Spring Breakers, not necessarily the reason you're watching it. You're watching it from James Franco as Riff Raff. That's why you're watching it.
I'm still confused as to why anyone is watching it. So yeah, that's a thing apparently.
Brandon, let's watch Spring Breakers together.
Oh sure. Man,
why not? Let's watch some Spring Breakers and just see this
with a big blanket of fire and some caramel corn.
See this train wreck happen.
Oh dude, you know what we should do this weekend? Let's just get together and watch it here.
I don't want to watch it with you.
No,
why not?
You are going to stay far away from the Spring Breakers watching party because we don't want you to influence our decision.
Watch Spring Breakers again?
No. You can watch it anytime you want.
It's the best movie ever.
You can watch it anytime you want.
Straight to DVD?
No, it was in the theater.
It was in the theater for like a week.
I need to preface this by saying that Spring Breakers isn't actually a movie.
Oh, okay.
Spring Breakers is more like a montage.
Okay, so it's like a science experiment of scenes.
Well, there's a story thread.
Okay.
It's got Jeff Jarrett in it.
Yeah, you've mentioned this, yeah.
It's got Jeff Jarrett in it!
That is one thing that I was kind of like, okay, alright.
I just saw the back cover, so now I'm sold.
Yeah.
It's Selena Gomez in a what appears to be a bikini / underwear. So
I like the
we're definitely going to be watching that one.
I like the other one, the Vanessa Hudgens, I think is her name.
Vanessa Hudgens?
Well, I don't know. But
you can just look at her online. That's she's true. Naked all day on that piece.
Oh, jeez.
Really? You didn't hear about that?
Dude,
it was a huge because she's in High School Musical, and all of a sudden, nude photos pop up on the internet.
I'm going to go bing that.
Yeah, we're going to.
I'm going to bang it.
No one ever bings.
I'm going to bang it.
No one bings anything ever.
Yeah, I don't feel like I want to Google her. But I want a banger.
You want a banger.
I get it.
There you go.
You're weird.
Speaking of movies we love and hate.
That's really all I got for video games this week.
On the first episode.
We're going straight to that.
We're going straight to that. Because on the first episode.
It's not
going to
end after that. It's going to trail on, I think.
Is it? What's going to trail on?
I think we're going to kill each other.
No, probably. But I'll be here to separate you guys or take most of the blows. I don't know. So here's the thing. On the first episode, if I remember, Eric mentioned that he watched World War Z and enjoyed it. For homework, Haas went ahead and watched World War Z. I've yet to watch it yet, with little to no interest in ever wanting to see it. Eric said he liked it. Haas, what did you think?
That movie is a piece of fucking shit!
Are you kidding me? It's a great movie.
If you could elaborate, Haas, on your problems with the movie.
Okay, all right, I'll start off by, I'm going to soften the blow here.
Okay.
There are parts of that movie that are pretty okay.
Okay, sure.
Good. In the previews, back when the trailers first came out, I think it was the Super Bowl last year when the trailer first hit.
Yeah.
The effects looked real bad. You could tell they were undone.
Yeah.
So, like, the helicopter taking off sequence and the stupid, like, waves of zombies.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's so many of them, they just turn into, like, a wave that comes down the street. Oh, that is stupid.
They're not zombies.
Okay, let's stop that right now.
It's called World War Z, and they call them zombies in the movie like five times. So guess what? They're zombies. Okay.
They're zombies.
They're
not a traditional take.
In the standard form of what you think is a zombie.
They're not a traditional take.
Like a 28 Days Later?
Yeah, 28 Days Later. The Rage zombie. Yeah. Gotcha. So what were the parts that you considered good again?
Okay, I think Brad Pitt's pretty decent in it.
Obviously,
I think overall
he typically always is.
The acting is pretty well done. I think the script's not real bad. In a sense, I think the last act of that is interesting up until they reveal the conceit of that film to you, and you're like, "Holy shit, this is stupid." The resolution of that film is the most ham-fisted thing I have ever... And then you're like, oh, well, they got through that, but how are they going to do the next thing? I'm like, the movie's over.
Yeah, but... I'll extend the same courtesy to you.
Sure.
I thought the end of that movie was effing awful. I'm not going to try to cuss.
There you go.
It was terrible. I hate, monologues at the end of movies, and it's just like... We couldn't figure out how to finish this, so we're just going to
talk it out.
Just wrap this up, and...
In case Hollywood wants to make a sequel, we could maybe work that in. Because the fight still goes on, and the human spirit and bullshit.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw the spoiler thing out there, because if you haven't seen it already, you're probably not that worried about getting spoiled on it.
Exactly.
It's like, at the end, Brad Pitt's family all lives... they were never in any danger at all. And that's what I hated about it. That movie would have been great if he would have went to that island and was supposed to be safe, and his family was ripped apart.
And
he would have been like the only survivor because they figured out how to sort of get around being attacked by the zombies.
Now, I have heard what the deal is there. About how they beat the zombie apocalypse in this movie, or supposed to beat it. The rage zombies, they apparently, this is just for me, I haven't seen the movie, they don't feed on the sick, correct?
Yeah, that's one thing that I think, as somebody who didn't know going into this what the core conceit of the film was, after about 25 minutes, I knew what it was. They beat that drum a little hard. If they had just alluded to it once, maybe twice, there are too many situations where you see a child or an old man standing in the street and zombies swarming around them and ignoring them.
Yeah.
It way too many times where that happened, where I was like, they're probably sick, aren't they? And they're like the first time they introduce the doctor character who... Props to that movie. They introduce this doctor character who's going to save the world.
And
it's like, wow, I thought Brad Pitt was the hero in this movie.
Yeah.
When they first introduce him.
They get
to South Korea and he falls down and shoots himself and dies. And he's the one guy that can help.
This is the one guy that's going to save the world.
So Brad Pitt, a not scientist, has to figure out
what the heck's going on.
Props to the movie for that. I chuckled pretty heartily.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was supposed to.
That's pretty funny.
But I laughed.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty good.
But yeah, they lean incredibly heavily into the Walking Dead theory of sound is what drives them.
Okay.
But there's way too many situations in that film where they are making a ton of noise all the time and it doesn't attract zombies.
I don't know.
Like, the wall in Jerusalem, there's helicopters everywhere, but like some lady singing into a speaker is what brings the zombies up over the wall. It's so stupid.
It wasn't one lady singing to a speaker. It was the whole place was singing about something.
Like 50 people in a gate?
It was more than that. Rewind.
Rewind. Say that again.
And the helicopters came few and far between, and they were separated. So if zombies were attracted, they would follow the helicopters that were just going around, not concentrated on one area where they're 1,000 people.
Or the airport that's in there where all the giant planes land and make the most noise I've ever heard up close in my entire life.
It's in the middle of the whole freaking place. They're singing at the gate, which is concentrating the zombies on one point.
It's incredibly stupid. incredibly stupid.
It's a fair point from either end.
I will say this, and this is a point that, and I've said this many times, I'm not a gore hound. I don't need you to, like, dissect a zombie, you know, or anything like that. This is the most bloodless movie I have ever seen in my... There's a woman who gets her arm cut off, and you don't see a drop of blood out of anything.
It's a lightsaber cut.
There are thousands of zombies getting drilled in the face, and nothing happens.
It's PG-13.
Yeah. The Walking Dead's PG-13 for TV. I know. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
that was my big complaint. Was
it. Oh man!
All right, so a lot of no gore in situations where you would expect gore. Obviously,
yeah. I don't need buckets.
Because if you're gonna have a movie with gore and you expect gore and it to be there, you want it to look good and decent. Because it looks, you know, obviously. But you don't have to have a movie in which that scenario is presented to you, obviously. But they were presenting the situation and then not delivering. So I think that's more the point, right?
Yeah, so. And, you know, here's the other thing I'll say is that, you know, with the pacing of the film starts with a tense scene.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you get that out of the way. And it tries to close on one as well.
Yeah.
And I feel like the second time it was completely unearned. I had little to... Because, first of all, they had already broached the subject of, we're going to give them rabies. Or whatever.
that's a little stronger than rabies.
Whatever.
Try the scarlet fever.
Scarlet fever, okay.
He's got to wear an A on his shirt. Who cares?
So, yeah.
Oh, you're so dumb. I get it.
That's a literary joke.
It is.
Idiots.
I just want to tussle your hair.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like, I just felt like after the reveal of, you know, we're going to give them the sniffles.
I love that it's degraded even further. it's just nothing.
Just give him a little flu.
A little bit of flu.
No, he's got a little bit of a fever.
Common cold.
Runny nose.
Yeah, okay, but yeah, so in the very beginning of the film, you know, there's this scene where they're trying to get to this rooftop, they're going to get rescued, you know, he knows some connections to the government, he's going to get the whole family picked up.
Sure.
You know, they just have to wait for morning, so they end up staying with this family, okay. And then...
He works for the UN.
Yeah, he worked
for the UN. He's a UN investigator guy, and he was in all kinds of, you know, war-torn places, and they were like, we need a guy like you.
Yeah.
Because everybody else is dead already. in 15 minutes. But, yeah, like, you know, so they're coming to get them. Well, they've got to basically walk up this apartment building, you know, walk up the stairs of this building all the way to the top. And it's very tense. Although the lighting is really fake and bad.
Yeah.
Because, hey, here's the thing. Lights wouldn't flicker like that.
Well, it's a Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it just...
I get it.
It's a movie zombies, but...
Yeah, it's a movie zombies. I get what you're saying. It is a movie thing. They always... They have a flickering or fan.
But if your exit lights...
Light,
and if your exit lights are on, your emergency lights work.
Yeah.
That's how... We have seen this in Hollywood enough times, and enough people have gotten it right, that whenever you get it wrong in what appears to be a pretty high-budget movie, it's like wearing a digital watch in a 1930s crime drama.
Yeah,
somebody's going to know.
True. guns don't have muzzle flares, and shotguns don't send people flying back 40 feet.
Trying to tell me that an assault rifle isn't basically a flamethrower?
That you just keep firing and doesn't jam up or heat up anyway. Yeah.
But yeah, like, you know, so there's a really good tense scene near the beginning of the film where they're getting up to the top of this apartment complex.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very tense. The great thing about this is that the biggest failure of that movie is not present in this scenario because it's so dark.
Yeah.
Whenever a zombie comes up, you don't see that they don't have any blood on their face or anything gross.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they die, you don't have to see that there's no blood that comes out or anything like that.
Sure.
It's good and it's tense. And the problem is, the second time that it comes around, it's like,
that's because
we kind of just did this.
Mm.
The bloodless zombies I can forgive because right at the beginning of the movie, I mean, obviously no one in the right mind figures out unless you're Brad Pitt.
Like, dude unless you're Brad Pitt.
Dude gets jacked up by the zombies, right? Gets a bite, scratch, whatever it was. I can't remember. It was in the traffic thing.
Yeah.
And Brad Pitt counts to 11. And as the guy, like, falls over and dies in the street, he starts counting. And he gets to 11, and the dude pops up and instantly starts running around. Like I said, it's not the classic zombies where you're looking and they've been dead for, like, 3 days. And they're deteriorating, and they're not. Yeah. They're not.
He's been mauled by a bunch of zombies, though. I think there'd be a scratch.
There's scratches. I think you need to go back and look at it again. There was blood, and there were scratches.
I watched it on Blu-ray.
Oh,
the look Blu-ray. And sound perfect.
If perfect were a look and sound, look, it would be Blu-ray.
You just take your little 4K Ultra TV and really look.
Spring Breakers. Let's talk about that again.
Let's not.
I got it on Blu-ray.
We're not going back to Spring Breakers. But anyway.
It's on sale for $14.95 on Amazon.
$14.95?
$14.95 for the
Blu-ray. That is way too much.
So basically, the zombies turn within moments after.
It's fast, yeah. and they're fast, and that's the scary part about them. It's because everybody sees the zombie apocalypse, and they're like Walking Dead. They're like,
right.
That don't seem that bad.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I just run around those guys.
I feel that we're so desensitized by the zombie apocalypse, as if anything like that ever remotely happened, it would last a day, and we'd be like, just shoot them in the head, they're dead.
Yeah, we got this.
We got it.
The zombie apocalypse would last 14 hours tops. People would have bug out bags ready for years, and they would
just
be
for this scenario.
They would be super disappointed. They're like, man, I only got to eat one MRE.
So the movie is basically bookended by two tense moments across a scenario of action and discovery.
The middle's all action. And,
action, discovery,
you know, he goes
and
to South Korea. Yeah. You know,
figuring out the mystery.
The long and short of the movie is he's trying to figure out where this started from, because the whole plan is, and I agree, this part is a little dumb too. If you figure out where it came from, you can kill it.
Yeah,
and then
automatically.
Yeah, and it's not even how they do.
They don't even figure that out.
Like, I guess through the middle of the movie, you're like, that was a stupid idea. And
let's do the Scarlet Fever.
During the course of the movie, like you said, they hammered it in because Brad Pitt would turn around, he would notice that old dude in the walker.
Yeah,
where they were. I mean, jamming past them. Like I said, when I say these zombies were running, it's like they were in the NBA. They were running from bulls, but is what it looked like. They were fast, and that's what was the scary part. Is like, they're so fast.
This movie had no scare. There was, after that opening scene, I never felt another moment of tenseness again.
Now, that scenario of the child laying down and the zombies swarming around him was probably the most interesting thing I saw in the trailer. I was like, now why would they be doing that, is what I said to myself.
And I might have liked the movie a little less if I was like you. I guess I'm not as smart as you. It took me a second.
Neither of you were smart.
I feel like that was condescending.
Neither of you were smart.
It took me a second to realize why the zombies were doing that. Like, I kind of thought sick, but then I was like, I don't know. Maybe they're going for just the stronger, younger people. You know what I'm saying? Not kids, not older adults, but just right in the middle.
Yeah.
But then they explained it, you know, a virus that wants to spread.
Maybe they're like warm hearts, and they just have a heart, and they don't want to hurt old people and children.
Kill yourself. It turns out that the thing that are making the people turn into zombies are self-aware, and they don't, obviously they want to expand their species, and they don't want, it would be a waste to get someone who's going to terminally ill.
Yeah. To get them sick.
To get them sick, because they're just going to die on their own anyway. It defeats the purpose.
Now, I think that's an interesting little sidestep.
And I like
normal.
That. I thought that.
But every alien nation story, like, ever.
Well, yeah, but
has done the same thing.
I have no idea if that's the scenario that occurred in the book of how they defeated it.
It's not.
It's not. Okay.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, I don't even know how the book works.
It's basically the Canterbury Tales with zombies.
Yeah, basically, it's a political commentary on how
Mel Brooks' kid wrote that.
Did he?
Yeah,
I didn't know that. That's intriguing. Mel Brooks Jr.
Men in Tights.
Mel Brooks II.
I don't think he uses the family name.
Mel Brooks the other one?
Ish.
Any of that?
Moving on. I don't
know. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
All right. So, World War Z. How do you feel about it, Hoss?
F. All the way to the bottom of the scale.
Even with all the redeeming qualities, you gave it an F.
Bottom of the scale.
What I described were redeeming qualities that were 10 minutes out of a 2-hour movie that had its head up its own ass.
I wouldn't give it an F.
What would you give
Fine, it? Fine,
it's a D. Well, you talked him up to a D. What would you give it?
I would give it a C.
Because it's a movie that didn't burn my Blu-ray player to the ground. It's a D.
I would give it a solid C. I don't want to go B because it wasn't like that. Like you said, it wasn't that nail-biting the entire time.
Mm-hmm. The way you had talked about it last time we talked, I was like, maybe I need to watch this. And the movie I saw did not seem talk about worthy.
He said he loved it.
I said I did.
On the podcast.
Yeah.
I still loved it. I'm allowed to love things that aren't perfect.
Yeah, you're allowed to love a C.
It's one of those little bronze. I would watch it again. I would still enjoy it again because y'all are gonna hate me for it. I love goofy, like just stupid movies that everybody else would hate, but I like.
Nothing wrong with that. Like Spring Breakers.
Oh God.
Yes. Talk about that again. No, if you want to watch a great movie, it's a little bit more in the comedy genre. I just watched this recently, and if you guys haven't seen it, it's on Netflix, it's on Amazon, it's on everything.
Okay.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
I need to see that movie.
It's one of the funniest and best movies I have ever seen.
I still have yet to watch that one. I really need to watch it.
I rented it. I found it to be super duper hilarious, except everything in the trailer that was funny was... Like, they shouldn't have spoiled so much in the trailer.
Yeah, they spoiled a lot.
Because all the super funny parts, like the really hilarious parts, were in the trailer, and there were other things.
The best line in the whole movie that was not in the trailer, and it's the way he delivers it, and it's a throwaway line that he's walking away from the camera when he says it. He walks past a dead body of a college kid who is impaled to a tree. He goes, "Stupid college kids." And I laughed for 10 minutes.
Stupid college kids.
The fact that he had become so desensitized to the violence and murder, to everything that's killed. That movie is perfect.
Yeah, Tucker and Dale vs. Evil is definitely...
A+.
Yeah, I give it a B because a lot of the stuff was spoiled for me.
Not since Evil Dead 2 have I laughed that much at an incredibly gory film.
There you go. All right. Evil Dead 2 levels. Wow.
Yeah, so there we go. I've replaced a piece of garbage movie that you don't need to watch with one that's great.
Well, there you go.
It was a movie I made Brandon watch not too long ago. Again, off topic. Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods.
That was awesome.
That movie is a good movie.
It is. Although, I think all
the
around.
The logic behind that whole subterranean thing?
Ridiculous.
Real stupid.
Don't care, though.
Super dumb.
Something about it.
Hilarious.
Why is there a release all bad guy button?
It's the tone that's there that's from the beginning.
It's a Joss Whedon joint.
Yeah, it's a Joss Whedon and the writer. Oh, I'm going to kill myself if I don't remember his name. He wrote Cloverfield. He wrote some of the best episodes of Buffy.
Is that Drew Goddard?
Drew Goddard. Thank you. Yes.
Wow, I pulled out of that.
He wrote that screenplay.
I got a nosebleed after I told him. Yeah, right. There it goes.
Yeah. Drew Goddard wrote that one. He is one of my favorite writers.
Amy Acker was in that. She was on Angel.
Amy Acker is on Angel.
I cannot plug the show Angel enough.
Yeah. Any,
you guys want to talk about Angel?
Any?
Let's start Endurance Running Angel.
Any Joss
I've never Whedon, seen it.
Any Joss
Let's
Whedon,
start watching all of it.
I've never seen Angel. I've never seen
literally,
Buffy.
Literally,
I got all the Duvdays.
Literally,
for
any
both shows?
Any Joss Whedon production that isn't Dollhouse, go watch it. Don't bother with Dollhouse. Sorry. I tried to love that show.
You know, Joss Whedon's influence is so awesome, and I feel like we've fallen into a love corner here.
I don't care.
His influence is so awesome that I think superhero movies are really freaking stupid, and The Avengers was awesome.
Hell yeah, it was.
Hell yeah. There's so many moments in there where somebody will, like, where Samuel L. Jackson lied to all those people.
Yeah.
And the guy called him on it. He's like, "Well, got us what we wanted, didn't it?" I was like, "That is Joss Whedon writing right there. That is that's his sensibility of, I'm going to lie to everybody to inspire them to do their best."
He sat back and said, "What would Sam L. do?" I lied to you. What are you going to do?
Whatever. There you go.
Do you think there were snakes on that plane?
Yeah. Speaking of which, have you watched...
It's more of a hovercraft-ish.
If we're going into the Joss Whedon love corner here,
okay.
Have you watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at all?
No.
You actually mentioned that...
I was going to watch it, but then, like, I missed the first episode.
Yeah.
And everybody I know says that show shit.
What was interesting was the fact that you mentioned, like, when we first talked about it, I believe, was on lunch at work one
time. Back in the summer.
And you said, there's no way I'm going to watch that show. You can't convince me, this is Hoss speaking, you can't convince me that the least interesting part about that Avengers movie is worth the show being on it. And then we started talking about it more. I was like, but you could have that one chick who's in it, who's on How I Met Your Mother, and she could be haunted by what's-his-name's death. And then I said to you, he's not dead, he's in the show.
It is awesome.
That is the most Joss Whedon thing I've ever heard.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's when
you
said,
got Whedoned.
And that's when you said, all right, I might check that show out.
it's on Hulu. Watch it.
It is on Hulu.
You have Hulu. Watch it.
I will say.
Pronounced Hulu.
I will
Silent H.
I will say, I personally, the first episode of that show, thought was rocky. It was very, like, it kind of felt like they were like, let's be fun about this. Let's do it like Buffy. And I'm like, guys, you're not teenagers in a high school. You're secret agents.
Yeah, I don't buy plucky.
Yeah, you shouldn't be, like, being plucky, yeah, with this.
Yeah.
The second episode I thought was better. It's gotten stronger as it goes along. I think a lot of people give that show a lot of flack for little reason. I think they just want to see Thor in there all the time, and it's like, you can't have Thor in there all the time.
Yeah.
Obviously. I like
that show. New Thor movie was bad. Is it bad?
It is not. I enjoyed that movie thoroughly.
I heard it was bad.
I enjoyed that movie thoroughly.
Let's watch it together.
I didn't see the first one.
Yeah.
You didn't?
Well, somebody want to watch the first one with me?
Well, I mean,
I feel like now that I'm part of a conglomerate site that includes comic books,
you have
to probably start watching this just so I can just start going, sorry. I don't think that plays well for radio. That was me holding up my middle fingers.
It doesn't play well for radio. If you want, I mean, I really don't need to hear about why you think that Thor movie was stupid.
I just want to pester you about
it. Or how that second Thor movie was stupid. Or how that second Cap movie was stupid. I don't really need to see this whole thing
play out. I didn't see the first Cap movie. I heard that was stupid.
It wasn't.
If you didn't know this, Haas does not like superheroes because
for whatever, because he's Haas. I don't really know.
God,
you know, John Cena's my
superhero. I am thoroughly convinced that you hate things.
Yeah,
just because
other people love them.
Just because other people love them and you love destroying dreams.
Yeah,
you feed off dreams and red vines.
That's my theory.
No, my dog feeds off red vines. She ate a whole bag of them.
She ate an entire bag of red vines.
By the time you read this. Maybe rest in peace, Willow. I don't know. seems fine, but she is asleep.
We have a memoriam on the site.
Yeah, she's fine. She's good. So, I think we segued away from everything we were talking about.
Yeah, pretty much.
Let's talk about talking about TV shows.
Let's talk about Spring Breakers.
But we should. Let's not. Let's never talk about that.
Oh,
man.
Where are we going with this one?
I feel like we've mainly covered it. We're going to do a shorty this week.
Yeah.
We talked about video games. We talked about video games. There's a couple shows I watched that aren't necessarily new, but I think people should give them a shot if you haven't watched them yet. First of all, it's a no-brainer. Breaking Bad.
Phenomenal.
Apparently, I've heard since this show's been on that I should watch it, and I never did for some reason.
Yeah.
Never seen it.
Yeah.
I watched the first episode, and I was like, this show is awesome.
It's great.
It is really good. It's on Netflix if you haven't seen it. I think, I think everything but the last season's on Netflix.
The last half of season 5 is not on.
Yeah. But. And everybody says, I mean, universally it says, they wrapped that show up perfectly.
Perfectly.
Like, there was no better way to do it than do it the way they did it.
It is literally...
I have to check it out.
It is literally the perfect wrap-up of any show I've ever seen. They leave nothing unturned. They literally sat down in a room and said, what do we have to tie up here? Yeah.
What questions have not been answered?
And they did it.
Yeah,
and
they ended up all in a church at the end, and they were like, you're dead the whole time, and no one spoil it for me, or I'll kill you all slowly. No.
No
spoilers.
Then Saeed dates a white girl again.
There was another show that I think didn't do very well, but they re-upped it anyway. It's called The Following.
The Following,
with the Kevin Bacon.
They did.
I think that show did pretty well.
It did all right because it was a summer replacement.
Okay.
And it made a pretty big hit.
Was it last January?
It was January.
Oh, January.
It was a mid-season.
It was a mid-season replacement.
Well, Fox always does it. Remember if, you know, back when 24 was on.
That's right.
It always started in January because they do the baseball playoffs.
That's right. They do the baseball playoffs. So
their whole, basically through the end of October is blown.
So it was a mid-season and it was kind of a big hit. Like Prison Break was, it didn't get a whole lot of recognition. Not like Prison Break. Prison Break exploded, but yeah, it got enough to where they were like, well, it's good.
Do y'all know the premise?
I actually don't know the premise of
The premise is
Kevin Bacon.
I'm down with that.
Kevin Bacon's on the ramp.
Kevin Bacon. Kevin Bacon's on the ramp.
We're not gonna go on the Schmoz cast.
And I'm gonna ring.
Kevin Bacon. I mean, the show starts off phenomenal. I don't want to spoil it for you because it starts off great. Okay. To me, it's what got me hooked.
Premise it.
Kevin Bacon is a former FBI agent who's borderline alcoholic, who caught this amazing serial killer who is in love with Edgar Allan Poe.
Okay.
And during his stint in prison, right before he escapes temporarily, the serial killer.
Sure.
He manages to get quite the cult following.
Okay, so it's a big cult thing.
It is a big cult, hence the reason The following.
Yeah.
And even when he's rearrested by Kevin Bacon, who they bring back in because he's a dishonored former agent, there's still lots of questions. I'm only on the third episode.
Yeah.
He's still got all these people and chess pieces in place to do his work.
Okay.
That he set up where he's
that's
had...
interesting.
He had guys living next door to a girl for 2 years.
What, just to...
Just to keep an eye on her. It was his last victim that got away.
Oh, wow.
And so he could keep tabs on her.
Wow.
And such a cult following with these guys. And it's one of those psychological puzzle-y type...
Yeah, it kind of sounds like... it kind of sounds like the Saw series of movies, but in TV form after they've... killed Jigsaw.
Yeah, like I said, it's a pretty cool show. If you haven't seen it, at least give it a watch. It's on Netflix. I mean, if you have Netflix, there's no point in not trying new shows that are
in
on
that
there.
Same vein. This summer, there was a really good show on FX that really nobody watched, and kind of don't really blame them.
Yeah,
because FX, it's either like out of the park or kind of bad.
Sure,
but The Bridge.
The Bridge, yeah.
The Bridge.
I've heard of that one.
It's phenomenal. It's basically about this bridge that separates, you know, the U.S. and Juarez, Mexico, and it's you know, the premise of the first you know, episode is a body turns up on the bridge, and when they get the body back to the morgue.
Yeah.
They find out it's two people.
What?
The top of one person and the bottom of another person. And she's like a...
What?
Yeah, the top part is this, like, you know, really prominent politician who's against, you know, like, she's like pro, build a wall, you know, keep all the Mexicans out. It's a pretty good premise. It's a very kind of police procedural.
Uh-huh.
It deals a lot with, you know, tunnels that are smuggling people across, you know, the border. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of plucked from the headlines.
Sure.
But the sheriff in the show, who's not the main character, it's kind of this female cop who is the main character, who's got issues. Young lady, I don't know.
Most women do, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Way more than most. the sheriff on this show is Buffalo Bill.
The guy who played Buffalo Bill?
From Silence of the Lambs?
Silence of the Lambs,
nice. Yeah. And he's still, you know, giving it to you that way.
Nice.
And I just, the whole time, I was like, is he going to say it? Are they going to, dude, at the end of the season, are they going to play Goodbye Horses? Like, what are they going to do?
Yes.
For half a second, I thought you meant the sheriff was the character Buffalo Bill, like, before he went insane or something.
That'd be okay.
Yeah. But, no, that sounds interesting.
Watch that.
Yeah. One show that I actually... that I actually got into, to send it off. I guess I already sent it off because I talked about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But one that I actually got into, and a lot of people are going to laugh, I got into Sleepy Hollow.
That show looks stupid.
It did. It looked ridiculously stupid to me. That show is a good show.
I refuse to believe it.
It is extremely Buffy. It's very Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I absolutely love that show. The main character is just an absolutely endearing character. Absolutely love Ichabod Crane in that show. It's a good show.
I refuse to believe it.
You need to watch that show.
100% refuse. You know when I'm going to watch that? Never!
Yeah, well, you need to watch it. So, you know, there we go. The bridge sucks, too, anyway. Oh, two people in half. It's retarded. I don't want to talk about that anymore.
Don't use that word.
Yeah. Is that a bad word now?
Yes!
I forgot, because really...
use that word.
Is it not a bad... Is it a bad word? Because I'm pretty sure that retarded just means something that is, you know, retarded.
No.
But...
No!
Why do you keep saying it?
What, stop. Retarded? I'm just saying, it's a
I'm
word.
I'm cutting off the last 5 minutes of this podcast.
It's a word, and it needs
nothing,
to happen.
Nothing but, nothing
really
but beeps and the bridge.
The world should be able to use that word. I don't care what anybody says.
So you're gonna, like... What do you, like... Are you in Clerks 2? Are you going to try to take back Porch Monkey
just
next?
Just saying.
Like,
all right. All right, cool. You know, just saying.
Wow. He's just taking it back. Don't worry,
just
guys.
Taking it back.
Just taking it back.
Taking it back.
The R word's fine. He's just taking it back.
Taking it back.
All right, thanks. You know, like, let's just end this mess.
Roadblock it.
This is bad.
I'll see you guys.
I don't know if we're going to post this.
Next week.
Oh,
I'm the Video Destruct Podcast.